about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. We've been labeling people since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head.
And Rebecca.
Today, the downside, the upside, and the validity of personality tests.
We want to be able to predict how some person that we don't know that well is going to act. So we ask them a bunch of questions to try and understand that. Now, early on, there were tests that people developed that didn't have a tremendous scientific basis, meaning that there wasn't a lot of experimentation done or really good measurement done in order to be able to assess how well they worked. And the Myers-Briggs is a great example of that. It was developed in the 40s. The people who developed it looked back at Jungian psychology and picked the Jungian archetypes and said, well, this is a framework that we can build a personality test on. And then they asked a bunch of questions and then scored that and ultimately classify everyone along four dimensions that they thought were really important. It's a very widely used test. If you go onto Facebook now, you can get your personality type and then get matched up with characters on Star Wars. And it has about as much validity as you'd expect for something that would end up on Facebook.
Things like that have a tremendous appeal because they seem to simplify something that's very complicated. But they simplify it beyond clarity, right? I mean, if you say about something as complicated as human personality, well, I have this little way to categorize people and to label people according to this assessment. You know, it's more complicated than that. And as we talked about before, all of these measures are validated and normalized based on groups of people, huge groups of people. And so the problem comes in when you give somebody a test and then declare, well, now I know what you're like. Or just as potentially dangerous, now I know what I'm like, as if you didn't before you took the test. Right.
What happens with personality psychology is you fast forward about 20 years and personality psychologists start asking just tons and tons and tons of questions about people's behavior. How often do you go to the movies? How much do you like to hang out with lots of other people and have conversations? And if you take all of these questions and you put them into a statistical hopper and you do what's called factor analysis on them, what you find pretty consistently is that there are basically five dimensions that come out that separate the answers that people give to all of these questions. And so the modern personality dimensions that people talk about didn't emerge from a theory first, and then they developed tests. It really was more, at least initially, that they were looking at patterns of differences in answers to questions first, and then trying to figure out what was causing all of those differences. And there were these five basic dimensions that would explain that. And so the positive side of doing it that way is that there's a tremendous amount of evidence at this point that those five dimensions do a pretty good job of explaining a lot of the difference in the ways that people answer questions about their behavior or the way that they act in situations. The interesting thing about these observations, though, is that when you look at the dimensions that come out, on most of the dimensions, most people fall more or less in the middle.
The problematic thing about all of this is giving so much weight to something that's so uncertain, right, both because of the way the tests were derived. As Art says, it wasn't based on theory that then was tested empirically. I mean, it's based on looking at a lot of correlations between a lot of variables and then coming up with, and Art, I love the way you were very meticulous in your speech about this, ways that explain people's answers to questions, not people's behavior, right? Because that's more complicated. Because when we're answering questions, we're sitting at a desk or a table with a pencil or whatever. When we're out in the world, there's all kinds of other stuff influencing our behavior beyond the stuff that's coming out of us.
We are all so anxious about who we are. We all try to project some air of confidence and things like that. But in fact, everyone has a certain set of anxieties about themselves. And so it's really nice to have this thing that comes along and tells you something, gives you a label for yourself. And I think people relax a little bit because part of what makes us nervous in general is uncertainty. And so if I'm uncertain about who I am, and then this test comes along and says, no, you are a J, whatever that is, right? Then you go, oh, what a relief. Yeah. Now I know this. I can be more certain about who I am. And I think people like to have that comfort.
Right. And the downside about any of this is one of the things that happens when somebody finds a label for something, they mistake that for an explanation for something, right? I mean, just because you know what, now you have something to call it, doesn't mean you understand it any better. You just have something to call it. And what's even more damaging than that, potentially, is that often it prompts inaction. Wait a minute, does that make sense? Can you prompt inaction? I don't know. But anyway, but then you think, well, why should I do anything? Yeah. I mean, if you have somebody who's very, very shy and they take Myers-Briggs test, right? And they score really low on extroversion. And they think, well, there you go.
I'm an I.
Well, right. And you think, well, wait a minute. You know, you can actually learn. I mean, if your goal is to be a little more personable and interact with people a little more comfortably in your life, we can help you learn to do that. But if you take the test and find out, well, I'm an introvert, I'm done. Because what can I do? I'm an I. Well, then that's a mistake. You're losing out on an opportunity to actually help yourself accomplish something that you'd like to accomplish, because the test has now told you you're not that.
One place where these tests can be valuable is having these kinds of constructs that do begin to explain at least some amount of your behavior may help you to recognize patterns in your behavior that, if you're willing to take those as, oh, I recognize this about myself and now I understand a little bit more about what I do and I can react to that.
Yeah.
So as long as you treat it in an active way, that can be good.
But the issues that you recognized before are still the same issues. And now there's action that can be taken to make things better if, in fact, that's your goal, is to change things in some way.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll talk about the psychology of grief with Drs. Bob Duke and Art Markman. You can listen back to this show anytime at KUT.org, and we're on Twitter at @2GOYH. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.